This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The Democrats are divided. Some are pushing for impeachment proceedings. They're convinced there's plenty in the Mueller report to develop charges of obstruction of justice. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi doesn't believe it is time just yet. Meanwhile, Donald Trump told the Washington Post that he fully cooperated with the Mueller investigation. He does not want his staff answering any more questions from Congress. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is paid to answer questions, but she hasn't done much of that. She held her first news conference and White House briefing in the first one in 45 days. And Joe Biden is ready to battle for the White House. We will dive into these topics now with the political junkie. Ken, welcome back.
Thank you, Frank.
This is really an interesting political dilemma for the Democrats, isn't it?
It is, if we're talking about impeachment, but of course it's also a dilemma about Joe Biden, and we'll talk about that in a second. But impeachment is absolutely a dilemma because one, you have Nancy, you have the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, saying that it's not time yet for impeachment, and there are a lot of people, including a lot of the presidential candidates, say, why go through this process if we know that the Senate will not get a two-thirds vote to convict and thus remove the president from office? But other Democrats are saying, and now some presidential candidates, including Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris, they're saying that forget about what the Senate is doing. The fact is that there seems to be, whether you agree on collusion or not, there certainly seems to be obstruction of justice. Everything from firing Comey to having Sessions try to get rid of Mueller and Donald McGahn to get rid of Mueller to talking about hush money pardons of people who testify, and now the president won't allow any member of his staff, past or present, to go before Congress to testify, including Robert Mueller or including Don McGahn. So with all these things that suggest obstruction of justice, there are more and more Democrats saying that forget about the Senate. We need to go on record. If there are impeachable offenses, we at the minimum should have impeachment hearings.
So there it is, a moral responsibility. We should be on record. What is Nancy Pelosi's hesitance here?
She's afraid that if it goes to the House, first of all, there are a lot of Democrats who were elected in Trump districts in the Midwest, in swing districts, that they are not – some of them are not saying let's impeach Donald Trump. Some of them are kind of moderates who didn't run against Donald Trump in the 2018 midterms. They ran on economic issues. And if you want to – and she's fearful that some of them – if the whole thing becomes about Donald Trump, as many – as some Democrats feel that Hillary Clinton was in 2016, that the president wins. And, if it goes to the Senate and he gets exonerated, he'll talk about this Democratic witch hunt that, you can't get past the Mueller report. He feels he was totally exonerated by Robert Mueller. And, of course, William Barr, the attorney general, sure made it sound like that. And so the Republicans are not going to go along with any kind of impeachment, and she feels that let's just beat him in 2020
yeah.
and not tear the country apart.
Political dynamite. It could work against us. It's more likely to work against us than for us. He's certainly not going to be thrown out of office by the Senate. So that's her worry. It is a worry that a seasoned political veteran, is wise to consider. What's the difference here? Because it seems to me that if you wait, what you're really waiting for is a shift in public opinion. You're waiting for a time when those red seats that Democrats won, those red states where some senators are running for re-election, might shift in their opinion over this case. How does this compare? And this is what happened with Richard Nixon, right? There was nobody willing to get rid of him, and then public opinion shifted, and suddenly Republicans got on board.
That's a great point, and Elizabeth Holzman, who was a member of Congress in the Judiciary Committee in 1974, the New York Democrat who voted to impeach, she was on my Political Junkie program this week, and I asked her the same exact question, and she said, look, back in 72, remember, Nixon won 49 states. He was still very popular when the Irvin hearings began in 73, and he still had some kind of popularity. The Republicans were refusing to acknowledge the possibility of impeachment when the House started talking about impeachment in 74, but as the hearings went on, when more and more witnesses came forward, popular opinion did change. Nixon wound up with like 29% approval That's how, you know, how far he's fallen. And she says, look, the answer isn't don't impeach him today. Have the hearings today, and then let's see where the evidence brings us.
Yeah. Well, let's talk more about the possibility, because actually he has been stuck here at about 41% approval rate, despite all of the negatives, the chaos in the White House, the continuing chaos in the White House, flip-flops over Korea, and yet his base remains strong, which would give a Democrat like Nancy Pelosi pause. Maybe we've reached the bottom. Maybe there will be no more shift. And I think that's one of the reasons she says, look, let's just wait till 2020 and let this
and
thing
one, one
play
thing, out. One thing that Nixon didn't have, he didn't have Fox News or outlets right. like that stick with him.
That stick with him. So let's talk about another a fascinating part of all of this, which is Joe Biden entering the race. We've more or less thought he might. This is not a big surprise, but he did it. Now what?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, one would think that because he's seen as some kind of a front runner, although to say talk about front runners in April of 2019 seems kind of crazy, but as a front runner, all you can do really is go down. I mean, there are a lot of other candidates, 19 other Democrats, who the American people are just starting to recognize. It's fascinating to me that the top two Democrats is a 76-year-old Joe Biden and a 77-year-old Bernie Sanders. And while, you know, Joe Biden talks about, you know, moderation and bipartisanship and things like that, the party is younger and less white and less male. I mean, the women, obviously, when he was elected to the Senate, there was only one other woman in the Senate, Margaret Chase Smith. I mean, the women, I mean, the things have changed during his 3,000 years in Congress and as vice president. So a lot has changed. Joe Biden may have changed, too, but certainly the party has changed as well.
Well, I mean, that becomes the interesting question for the party, because in 2018, what we saw was the party moving on from the kind of Republican/Democrats, the Clinton Democrats, who basically occupied the space left vacant by the Republican Party when they shifted to the right. And that's who he represents. And he's the guy who's having to deal with and apologize to Anita Hill for his treatment of her. It's one thing to say that maybe he has changed, but perhaps the party is looking at the people who changed him. Why not put those people in office instead of the guy who represents that old guard? I mean, it seems to me, is that the fight now going on in the Democratic Party?
The fight now is, do you support a candidate who supports your beliefs and your viewpoints and your ideology, or do you support somebody who you think can best defeat Donald Trump? If you listen to Biden's announcement video, which I thought was very good, there was nothing about policy papers or ideology or anything. It was about, we must defeat Donald Trump. He's a scourge on society. Charlottesville was a disgrace. He must be defeated. If Democrats feel he's the only guy, he's the best guy to defeat Trump, maybe they'll forgive his apostasies of the last 30 years, or maybe not. Maybe they'll say, look, that's why we love the Pete Buttigieg's and the Elizabeth Warrens and the Bernie Sanders, because they stand for what the Democratic Party stands for today, and that's not the politics of yesterday.
Talking to the political junkie today on The State of Things. Ken Rudin is with us. Ken, let's switch gears here, because the White House, you know, whether or not there are further investigations, has proved that it is not very interested in talking to the press. Sarah Huckabee Sanders broke her own record for a lack of briefings. The original record that she set was 41 days. Then she set a 42-day record between actual formal briefings with the press. Now 45. She broke that with a press conference with children.
I mean, if you call this a press conference, this is great. First of all, it was off the record. She wouldn't let anybody be quoted. Some of the kids were wearing Make America Great Again hats. I don't think journalists do that at her briefings.
They do if they're from Fox, but go ahead.
Yeah, and you wonder, what does she do? I mean, what does she do to make her salary? Why are we paying her salary if she's not a press secretary? What does she do? The fact is that, you know, we know that she has such contempt for the media, and perhaps the media has contempt for her as well. But given the fact that she's had only two press conferences all of this year, why is she White House press secretary if she's not conducting briefings?
Well, and what's the need of the briefings? I mean, I think that's the other thing is sort of the administration's stand on democracy, which is to say accountability to the people. Not much of that. I mean, so much is done in secrecy. And again, not talking to the press, doing everything, you know, the president on Twitter rather than sort of having a discussion where he's having to answer questions. This has really fundamentally changed the White House. Do you think going forward, this has changed it forever, or is there a reset once Donald Trump is out of office?
Well, assuming Donald Trump is ever out of office, because there's no guarantee that.
There's a constitutional limit. So.
Well, yes, there is. There's a lot of laws that are being broken every day, and I mean that in all sincerity. I just don't. I wonder what happens if he is defeated, or if he leaves office, or after 8 years he leaves, or not. Well, we'll see. But anyway, no, I do think things change. There are a lot of things that have changed in politics that regrettably I think are with us to stay. But I think that any other president would have regular press briefings. I mean, you're absolutely right. This is what the administration is obliged to, keep the public informed and tell us what's going on within the White House. Now, you could make the case that we don't get much of that even when she was having the daily briefings, but that's her job, things do change if there is somebody else in the White House come, 2021 or 2025.
Yeah. You could always declare a national emergency.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
you never know.
We laugh, never know. True.
No, I know. I've stopped laughing. Political junkie Ken Rudin, thanks so much.
Thank you, Frank.
You can find links to Ken's stuff at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we're going to talk with two electronic musicians about the industry and how to make it more inclusive. And we'll have that conversation on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.